This morning, I want to talk about or deal with two of the greatest questions in life. I don't know if there's a greater questions for anybody. I think everybody asks them, at least in their thought life. The first question is, how did I get here? How did I get here? By the way, no one in this room asked to get here. You didn't ask because you weren't here because you want to be. You're just here. In fact, before you even were aware that there was a you, you were already conceived, informed, delivered, diapered, fed, loved, and then there was you. And then as you lived your life a little longer, you come up with a second question. Why am I here? That's a big question. Why am I here? Why are you here? And so that's what I want to talk about. Because one other thing we're aware of living on this earth, things aren't quite the way they ought to be. We know that. Wars, people murder each other. Cancer sucks the life out of people. I mean, we're very much aware that the evil seem to prosper. Righteous people go hungry. I mean, there's something not quite right. But the two questions, how did I get here and why am I here? It's interesting. Those must mean a lot to God because he answers those questions in the first chapter of the Bible. So I invite you to open your Bibles to Genesis 1, verse 26. No excuses. You should be able to find this. We're in the sixth day of creation. The sixth day. And in verse 25, at the end of the fifth day, it says, God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, the cattle after their kind, everything that creeps on the ground after its kind, and God saw that it was good. Now, this chapter, this part of the chapter, and this is an interesting part of the chapter. And I believe clearly that this is God's goal of the whole chapter. Everything it's said so far is because of what he's going to say now. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth. Every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And every beast of the earth and every bird of the sky and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given you every green plant for food. And it was so. And then it says, and God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning of the sixth day. This is interesting. Look at the end of it. Every time God was working on the other days, he said, it was good, it was good, it was good. Now he says, it was very good. Hebrew word is added there. It's very good. This is the point of the whole creation. This is it. And what's interesting is how it starts out. He says then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Wow. And by the way, there have been debates about this part of the verse for thousands of years. What's he mean, us? You see, what does God mean, us? Let us make man in our image. In the last 30 or 40 years, evangelicals have come to the conclusion that this is God speaking of the Trinity. And that's possible. I don't think there's any doubt. The reason that I say it's possible is the word God. Then God said. That word is Elohim. Anytime you hear him on a Hebrew word, it means plural. So Elohim said, not just God said, not Elohim said. Let us make man in our image. All of the Jewish scholars and most of the early church fathers and even through the reformers said that it had to do with the angelic beings as well as God. Well, I can be real specific here. I have no idea. I'm not sure. Either one would fit. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. I like it. I like the idea that this is the triune God speaking. We are created in the image of God. Let us make man in our image. That word image is selim. And it's an interesting word. It means form. It was often used for shaping idols. Kings used to take their image and put it all over their kingdom. Von Rod says this. He said, just as earthly kings set up statues of themselves through their kingdom to show their sovereignty, God has established man to be his representation on earth. This is important to understand. This is one of those words that we know, but we don't really think about much. I'm going to tell you today what I believe. There's nothing more important about you, nothing, than you're in the image of God. And I don't believe anything compares to that, anything. I don't think anything is as important as that. This is the most important thing there is about you. You are in the image of God. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. I love what Ken Hughes writes. He says, though you could travel 100 times the speed of light and pass countless yellow-orange stars to the edge of the galaxy and swoop down to the fiery glow located a few hundred light years below the plane of the Milky Way, and though you could slow to examine the host of hot young stars luminous among the gas and dust, and though you could observe close up the protostars poised to burst forth from their dusty cocoons, and though you could witness a star's birth, in all your stellar journeys, you would never see anything that compares to or is equal to the wonder of a human being. Think of that. He said, for a tiny baby girl or boy is the apex of God's creation. The greatest wonder of all is that a child, he said, is created in the image of God. The child once was not. Now, as a created soul, he or she is eternal. He or she will exist forever. When the stars of the universe fade away, that child's soul will still live. Did you ever think of that? Of all the things God created, we know the vastness of the universe now, or somewhat. Billions and billions of galaxies with billions and billions of stars. I mean, it's just awesome. Not as awesome as you are. Not close. Think of that. You're an image bearer of God. An image bearer represents the real thing. You represent God. You'll notice in this case what God said to him, you're going to rule over the earth. In other words, this is my creation, but you're going to rule over it. Why would we rule over it? We're image bearers. God's placed you and I to represent him everywhere you and I will ever be. And you say, that's my image bearer. Now, there's a lot of things about God that we're very much like. He's morally pure. He builds relationships. He's a spiritual being. He's emotional. He's intellectual. He's eternal. He's creative. He functions to rule. He said, yeah, you're going to do all those things. You bear the image of God. Strange. Doesn't feel like it, does it? Oh, I didn't go there yet. Something happened, didn't it? Something happened. It's called the fall. A lot of things changed. It's interesting, though. But it didn't end the story at all. Max Lucado writes this, and I think it's very perceptive. He said, Adam and Eve walked with God in a beautiful type of paradise, a life free from sin, guilt, shame. They shared his joys, his creation, his creativity. They could have continued in that way, living in incomprehensible closeness to their creator. But instead, they listened to a lie. a light that slithered into this beautiful world. In the garden, they had options. The tree of life, a life which our Creator said that was free from pain and sin and death, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, a tree from which God warned them not to eat. Adam and Eve had already savored good. So to take from this tree was now to taste the bitter poison of sin and evil. But this protective warning was twisted into a lie by the enemy of our souls. God does not want you to know good and evil because he does not want you to be like him. Now watch what Lucero says. Wait a minute. That's the very God that created them in his image. Did God want man to be like him? Yes. He bears the image. Satan got him to believe, no. He really wants you to be. And by the way, by eating of it, whose image did they now bear? Lucifer's. You see, you bear my image now. You'll know good and evil. And you'll disobey God and you'll love evil and you'll reap it in your lives. That lie still perpetuated, still goes on today. It's an amazing thing what mankind says over and over again. It's interesting to me, like you take a prevailing view of science and they'll say that everything that exists and everything that happens happens because of happenstance and chance. That's how everything happened. It just happened. Wow. It just happened. That's a long way from being an image bearer of a creator. Everything just happened. That's just the way it works. Now, there's one thing about that view, though, that's pretty good and useful to them. And because of that, we're not accountable to anyone. We have no accountability to anyone because there isn't anyone to be accountable to. You are, you see, that's all you are. You are a product of time and chance. You are protoplasm waiting to become manure. That's who you are. That's the way all humans are. That's all there is to life. That's it. It's amazing when you think about it. How optimistic is that? What's the point of life? There isn't any. See, there is no point of life. None. At least the existential philosophers, they ended up saying, look, if that's true, then there's no point of being alive, and the only choice you should ever want to make in life is whether to take your life earlier or die later. And neither matters. Nothing matters. Nothing in life matters. Why? Everything is going to be gone. You're going to be gone. All the generations after you are going to be gone. I just found out a week or so ago that Andromeda is going to collide with the Milky Way in 6.2 billion years. And we'll all be gone. Everything's going to be gone. There'll be nothing. So what's the point of anything? What's the point of life? There is no point. None. You see, and that's kind of an interesting thing because there's a couple ways man tries to adjust to this. See, what's the point of an image bearer? An image bearer represents the real thing. So as an image bearer of God, what should my life be about? Promoting God. That's my life. I promote God. Now, if there is no God for me, then what am I into? Self-promotion. I promote me. Any of that going on around us? That's what we live for. I promote me. That's what life's about, promoting me. Well, you could become really famous or really rich. You're still manure. It's pointless. You see, it's pointless. That's what man is. It's about self-promotion. I'll just promote myself. And that's what I get out of life. There isn't anything there. It's an interesting thing because after the fall, man's being created in the image of God was tarnished. There's no doubt about it. But God didn't leave it that way. This is absolutely imperative to God. So God decided I'm going to do something about this. So turn with me now to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Starting in verse 13. See, if the image bearers have been tarnished through the fall, now what? Notice verse 13, Paul writing to the Colossians. He says, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son." He rescued us from the domain of darkness. But, he says, then he transferred us, don't miss the word, to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We're kind of moving back to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of his beloved Son. How did he do that? Next verse. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. How did God accomplish this? Christ died for our sins. Redemption. He redeemed us. You see, Jesus Christ came, lived the perfect life, died a substitutionary death on the cross. You see, he redeemed us in God's eyes. Now, what's the next thing that Paul says, though? He is the image of the invisible God. Image bearer. He is the image. Hebrews 1:3 says, he is the exact representation of the nature of God. Christ is now the image bearer. He is the image bearer. He is the perfect image bearer of God. And Paul says, through redemption, he's transferred us into his kingdom. So you start getting an idea that God is going to go back to this same thing he started with. He's going to ask us to bear his image. In this case, in the image of the Son of God. Turn with me to Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse 8. Now he continues his thought. Notice what he says. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self and its evil practices. Notice he transferred us out of the domain of darkness. That's what I just said. He said, now stop sinning. Stop that. He said, and notice, and have put on a new self who is being renewed to the true knowledge according to the what? Image of the Son who created him. A renewal in which there's no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man. Christ is all and in all. He said that's what he's doing. Your life and my life, after the moment we are saved, is God is now saying, I am going to restore your image. I am going to restore your image to be like Christ's image, which is the exact image of God. You are going to be restored as an image bearer of God. It's interesting. Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. And Paul give a little different slant on this at this time. Starting in verse 47. In verse 47, it says, the first man is from the earth, earthly. The second man is from heaven. And notice the comparison. There's a first man, an image bearer, who sinned. There's a second man who's an image bearer who did not. One is from earth and one is from heaven. He says, as is the earthly, so also we are those who are earthly. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Now watch. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. You're going to be a heavenly image bearer. Now, he sort of tells us in that verse, where is that going to occur? Where does that finally occur? In heaven. The moment you're absent from the body and present with the Lord, you're a perfect image bearer. You'll be just like Christ. Your character will be perfect like his. For some of us, it'll be alarming. Unless we wear signs, there'll be people that won't recognize us. Some of us will change so much that we'll have no idea. Other people have no idea who you are until you introduce yourself. You see, we should be changing our image now, but we're not. And so we get to heaven. And by the way, it's always interesting to me to show you how far we are away as an image bearer, is when people, some of you, have talked to me about, you can't wait to get to heaven. Sounds good in the beginning, right? Be a crawfish boil like every day. Really? Really? Whose image are you bearing there? That's the image of Christ? Or is that the image of Adam's sin? It's an amazing thing when we think about it. Oh, when I get to heaven, I'll see my Aunt Tilly. It'll be wonderful. I can't wait. If your Aunt Tilly's there, it's going to be wonderful to see her. But understand, if you bear the image of Christ, you'll be just as excited about seeing every human being there. Every single one of them. Oh, I didn't know that. How does Jesus see people? Well, he loves Aunt Tilly more than anyone. Of course he doesn't. He loves everyone the same. You will have the character of Christ. You will bear the perfect image. I think it was someone like D.L. Moody said, the goal of my life is to change as little as possible when I die. And I thought that's a really good way to put it. I want to start being conformed to the image of Christ the best that I can. That's the way I want to see this. So it's interesting that he said, just as we have borne the image of the earth, so we're going to bear the image, he said, of the heavenly. Go with me now to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. We were just here in this section starting in 26 last week. If you remember last week, I hope you did, but if you remember last week, I said there is first the groaning, then the glory. That's just the way life is on this planet. First the groaning, then the glory. And in Romans 8, Paul says, you know what? The whole creation's groaning. The whole universe is groaning. Everything is groaning. Awaiting the new heaven, new earth. He said, we are groaning. I am awaiting what? My resurrected body. He said, but even the Spirit of God in us is groaning. You see, the Spirit of God groans within us because he realizes the situation that we're in. And so I said that in verse 27 concerning the Spirit, he who searches the hearts knows the mind of what this mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit of God intercedes with us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And last week I said, now comes the famous verse. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And I said, he didn't say all things are good, they're not. But God says, I'll redeem all things for good in the end. But then watch the next verse. He said, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to what? To become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. What he's telling us there is the absolute surety that you will be conformed to the image of his son. And God knew it when he foreknew you and predestined you. God knew it. He said, I'm telling you absolutely, every one of you will be conformed to the image of his son. I will restore this idea of being in my particular image. We live in this earth, and that becomes a process for us. And that last verse I want to look at is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The last verse, verse 18. Now, the context of that's pretty simple. If you haven't read it, you've at least seen the movie. But we're going to talk about Moses. And if you remember, one of the cool things about Moses is he went up to Sinai and he actually got to talk to God, which is really cool. I mean, that's pretty impressive. In fact, the people at the bottom of the mountain were terrified to go near the mountain. And Moses gets up there in the presence of God. If you remember, one time Moses said, hey, I'd like to get a look at you. God said, well, I can't really do that for you. But I'll tell you what, I'll push you in a cleft and I'll walk by and you'll see my backside type of thing. That's all he got. But remember, after that experience of being close to God, how'd he look? He radiated. Everyone's, look at Moses. He's glowing. This guy's glowing. And it was really cool. Now, the thing that bothered Moses was it didn't last as long as he was hoping. And he started realizing, I think I'm fading here. I'm losing my, you see what happens? Well, that's a picture, in a sense, of what should be happening in your life and mine. Notice what he says here. He says in verse 18, but we all, that's us, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Do you realize the more time I spend with the Lord, the more I look like him? Do you realize that? I look like him. And in my life, it's been an amazing thing to see people, usually older people, but see people who have walked closely with the Lord for 40, 50 years, and having been in their presence and say, wow, do they know the Lord? There's something about these people. What comes off of them? Peace, joy, kindness, all the fruit of the Spirit just comes off of them. You see, there it's from glory to glory to glory to glory. That's your life and mine. That's what our life is. But I have to be looking in the mirror, he said. You see, I look in the mirror, I see the Lord. So this comes down to how well do I know him? For a lot of us, not well. See, how close do I get to him? How obedient am I to his commands for me? How much do I depend on him in my prayer life? You see, and if I put all that together, how do I bear his image wherever I go? Do you ever think about that? You're going to have an appointment with someone or could, you know, something like that. And is your prayer ever, Lord, I want to represent you to your glory in this scenario? Do you ever do that? You see, normally it's a little bit more about us. Oh, Lord, protect me from saying something stupid. Protect me, Lord, from saying something that would be judgmental. Protect me. But I want to represent you because you are his representative. That's who you are. Remember John wrote that when Jesus came into the world, the light came into the world? He did. That's what John said in his gospel. When Jesus came in, the light came into creation. And then what did Jesus tell us? You're the light of the world. What? Yeah, you. Why? You're my image. You see, I'm now seated in the heavenlies. You now represent me. You're the light. So he's telling us to be light in the world. See, that whole idea of being an image bearer should have a profound effect on how you see your life and what your life's going like. It's key to the idea of how do we apply this to our lives. One thing I thought about this week is I've never given God enough thanks that I bear his image. And I don't know if you have either. How thankful you are. You bear the image of God. It's astounding. Wayne Grudem writes this. He said, it would be good for us to reflect on our likeness to God more often. It will probably amaze us to realize that when the creator of the universe wanted to create something in his image, something more like himself than anything else in creation, he made us. I'm going to create one thing that's more like me than anything else I created. There they are. It's you. I'm overwhelmed. Look at a sunset. Oh, look how beautiful it is. How about the Grand Canyon? You see, how about the mountains? How about the shore? How about the celestial bodies, the moon? Oh, look how beautiful. He said, that's nothing. Look in a mirror. Here's my image. See that? Are we thankful for that? I'm not sure we are. He says that. He said, this realization will give us a profound sense of dignity and significance as we reflect on the excellence of all the rest of God's creation, a starry universe, an abundant earth, a world of plants and animals and angelic kingdoms. Oh, they're all remarkable. They're even magnificent, but they don't compare to us. You see yourself like that. Wow. We didn't invent positive thinking. This is God. Don't you get it? I have an identity problem. I do. I don't feel good about myself. Well, how about this? God created you and said you're his image bearer. Shouldn't that lift it a little? Shouldn't that be it? Wow. He said, we are more like our creator than any other thing God ever created. Wow. We are the culminations of God's infinitely wise and skillful work of creation. Even though sin has greatly marred that likeness, we nonetheless not reflect much of it and show even more so as we grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ our Lord. One day you'll be fully like Christ, the image of God. So that's the first thing. Secondly, as an image bearer, we should treat all people with dignity and respect. Everybody, and I mean everybody. One writer said, this has a profound implications in our conduct toward others. It means that people of every race deserve equal dignity and rights. It means that elderly people, those seriously ill, the mentally retarded, and children yet unborn deserve full protection and honor as human beings created in the image of God. That should be us. For sure, we understand the idea of image bearers. I mean, if you think of that whole issue, the whole thing going on in our country right now, the Roe v. Wade and all of the idea of women's rights and abortion. This, for some people, they say this is nothing. Unless I say it's something, I can just discard it. This is the image of God. Yeah, but I said it's nothing and I can discard it if I want. Wow. That's where our culture has changed. But don't forget, even the woman who said that bears the image of God herself. We should be that kind of people. I read a guy this week, it said, honor everybody, people as high as tightrope walkers and people who are street walkers. And I thought, that's pretty funny. You know, everybody. Thirdly, as an image bearer, we should be determined to restore the image of Christ in our lives. The reason I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ is I want to be more like him because I want to bear his image. Because the responsibility of an image bearer is to reflect the real thing. That's why you and I are alive. And that's why you and I are here. Think of that. You're here because God wants you to represent him in everything in your life. The question is, do you see yourself that way? You see, and I don't know if we do. I'm not so sure that's a good thing. Two great questions of life. How did I get here? I got here because God created me as an image bearer, same as you. Secondly, why am I here? I'm here to represent my Creator wherever I go with everyone I meet. And I'm here to try to become more and more and more to bear the image of my Savior, Jesus Christ. So you need to see yourself as God sees you. He loves you. He created you. And you are his image bearer. Think of that. That's who you are. My prayer is that you embrace your role, that you think about this. I am an image bearer of God Almighty. Let's pray. Father, I must admit that I think for many of us, we don't think about this very often. We don't think about bearing your image. We don't think about ourselves as your representatives in this world. But the Bible's clear on this. We often don't think about ourselves, Father, as representing you in all situations of life. What a tremendous responsibility you've given us. We represent the Almighty, all-knowing, all-creative God on this earth. And it's not because we want to, but because you told us that's who we are. This should very much encourage us, Father. There are no small roles in the kingdom of God. Each and every one of us represent a strategic part of it. May we, in our everyday experience, see ourselves as the image bearers of God Almighty. I pray this, Father, for our good and for your glory, in Christ's name. Amen.